Welcome back to Ram Nation Radio on AM 1550 KDCO, FM 94.1 in Denver, 96.9 in Boulder. I'm your host, Joel Cantalamessa. This segment is brought to you by Ed Bozar Chevrolet, Colorado's number one Chevy dealer. Former CSU running back Kyle Bell is a general manager at Ed Bozar in Aurora, and he's helping Ram fans get great new vehicles at fantastic prices. Plus, if you mention you heard his ad on Ram Nation Radio, he'll give you an additional $500 off the sale price. So head into Ed Bozar Chevrolet at 2001 South Havana Street in Aurora, and Kyle will take care of you. Gary Azzello, Executive Director of Community Outreach and Engagement at CSU, returns for this final segment. Gary, before we went to break, we were talking about the athletics culture and how it's changing at Colorado State. We've got a president, Tony Frank, who realizes the value in what a good athletic department can do, and how we talked about that front porch and the free advertising that you get out of it. What has he meant to athletics since he took over in that role? I'm sure you're a lot like me, where you wonder or wish that CSU had invested in athletics back in the early 90s and 2000s, and yes, what kind of a different place CSU could be now if you had a vision of Dr. Frank.
Well, you know, Joel, I think that Dr. Frank, number one, recognizes how important athletics are to a college campus. And as you and I talked, it's not the most important thing that we do, but it is the front porch. It draws alumni back. It draws donors. It draws fans. And it's a central rallying point for all of those things. One of the things I appreciate is I've been here, as you mentioned, 412 years. But I've been through several presidents. They all said they supported athletics, and they did. Tony said that, but he invested in athletics. He said, it's like anything else. It's like any other opportunity. If you invest in it, you can be good at it. And he said, I'll help provide the resources. I'm not going to tell you how to coach. Tony Frank is not a guy that's going to say, that's going to call Mike Bobo and ask him why he ran a draw on 3rd and 8. He's not going to call Larry Eustace and say, you know, why did you foul up 3 with 10 seconds to go? He's a guy to say, I'll support you. You coach. You're a teacher. I'll provide you the necessary resources. And I think that's been the biggest change. And I think he recognizes what athletics can do for the entire university community.
It's fun to see CSU on the rise. And a lot of the conversation, you know, we're in the era of conference expansion. But, you know, even just being mentioned and seeing Colorado State's name in news reports and columns as a candidate for the Big 12 or whatever conference, has been fascinating, and it's amazing how things can turn, because a few years ago, Colorado State was not even a blip on the radar. Of course, back in the day, you know, several years ago when the Pac-10 started its march towards conference expansion, and they pointed towards the Big 12, and they were trying to take 6 teams, it looked like there was an outside chance that the Big 12 would be left with a bunch of leftover teams, and the Mountain West would somehow create a hybrid with them. Do you remember that whole scenario?
Can you tell that
story of how that went down?
You know, it was crazy, Joel, because it changed by the minute and by the hour. And, you know, it looked like the Mountain West was going to break up, and it looked like the Mountain West may acquire leftover teams in the Big 12, and then it looked like CSU could go that way. And so it was a tumultuous time. I think a lot of that has passed on the college landscape. But at the same time, we'll see where and when the next changes take place.
With the Big 12 being left out of the playoff, you know, there's been so much talk. It was a flurry of reports that Big 12, they're going to have to expand now and try to get to that 12-team number so they can have a conference championship. Whether or not they're going to expand anytime soon, does a school like CSU make it known that it wants to position itself for conference expansion? I mean, do they actively speak with members of the Big 12 and their presidents and their commissioner?
You know, Joel, I think the best thing we can do is do what we're doing, and that is to be the best program we can, the best academic institution we can, and I think the rest will take care of itself. I really do. I think we can politic and do all those things, but I think if we don't do what we need to do, if we're not successful on the field, successful academically, and successful institution, the rest is not going to matter. They won't cast a glance our way. Dr. Frank is brilliant in his intelligence, in his approach, and I think that we'll do what we need to do from that end. From the athletic end, we need to continue to be successful and competitive. and be attractive. And as you know, it ultimately comes down to, and one of the attractive things that we have, it comes down to television eyeballs. Well, the Denver market's 60 miles away. When Ram fans fill Hughes Stadium and soon our new stadium, when they fill Moby Arena and TV sets tune in, that's the best advertising and lobbying we can do.
One of the crowning achievements that Dr. Frank has had from an athletic standpoint, obviously, is that this building of an on-campus stadium. And it was announced this week that the stadium's going to break ground this summer. An on-campus stadium, it was something that was really Dr. Frank's vision all along. Jack Graham got a lot of credit for it because he was kind of the spearhead and hitting the ground running. But I recall a conversation with Doug Mack several years ago that an on-campus stadium was on the agenda by basically every AD that had come through the university over the years. Yes. So it was not a new concept, but it was Dr. Frank that bought into it and made it happen. Can you share some of the history behind the idea of an on-campus stadium, how this thing got kicked off?
You know, I think that Tony drove that vision, and he said this can be a game changer in our campus. Joel, I think you went to the CSU-Alabama game a year ago, and that was I've had the good fortune during my career at Colorado State to visit USC, Virginia, Tennessee, Miami,
LSU,
a number of programs. When I went to Alabama and it's in the central campus area, I was like, wow, this is what it can be. I'm not saying we're going to be Alabama. We won't be. I'm saying what we can be is it's a rallying point, because I think people come back to campus. They walk campus on the day of a game. They go to open houses in the college business or liberal arts or whatever it may be. This is not an athletic thing. It's a community thing. And it's definitely, in my mind, this is a game changer. This doesn't change for me and you in the next 3 years. It changes for the next 50 to 75 years of Colorado State. And I think that Tony has driven this, saying this is how we can continue to be an elite academic program, is by showcasing athletics through an on-campus football stadium.
Gary Azell, longtime sports information director at Colorado State, is our guest, currently the executive director of community outreach and engagement, but still enjoying some good athletics discussion tonight. Gary, you grew up in the state, Lahana, home of the Otero Junior College Rattlers. You came to CSU for college, spent nearly 40 years in Fort Collins. You've got a pretty good pulse of the city. Why do you think it's so hard to get community involvement? You know, it really fluctuates throughout the years, but so many times you feel like you're beating your head against the wall. I've been a fundraiser for the Ram Club for years. Why does there seem to be such an indifference towards CSU in the community?
You know, it's a very transient community. We have people who moved here from all over the country because it's a great place to live. And those people, including myself, love living here. And some of their allegiance is to, you know, other places where they grew up or where they moved from or any of that. Joel, what I've noticed is that if we can sustain the success as Sonny Lubick enjoyed when he was here, we have a chance to do things that other communities do. But we have to sustain the success. And one of the things that has happened as part of that is that Dr. Frank has invested in the program. He hasn't hung athletics out to dry and said, you win, then I'll support it. He said, we're going to invest in athletics, and we have a real chance, unlike anything that I've seen here in four decades.
Going back to the stadium issue and the support of the community, there's no doubt there's a faction of folks who are anti-stadium, anti-athletics. Do you think that the stadium issue is as divisive as it appears, or do you think it's more of a vocal minority?
Joel, I personally think it's a vocal minority. There are two references that I would use with that. Number one is I was here 25 or 30 years ago when the Anheuser-Busch plant was coming into play. This community was up in arms that AB was coming in to build a brewery. They were going to pollute the water. They would not be good neighbors. They would not be good generating revenue for our community. AB's been a great partner in the community of Fort Collins. The second is, several years ago, when old Fort Collins High School was converted to the University Center for the Arts, there was a number of people in the neighborhood surrounding UCA saying it's going to cause traffic problems, there's going to be noise, light pollution, many of the things that we hear about the stadium. Hmm. The UCA is now a glowing part of the community of Fort Collins. It's changed. I know it's changed. That's hard for people. It will be dramatic change in some regards, but at the same time, we will look down the road and say this was a game changer for our community.
If you look back at the years in your career, I guess I liken this a little bit to, you know, car aficionados that can name the top years that a specific type of car was made, or wine enthusiasts can tell you what years the best wines were made. I bet you can look back at your career and tell me what were your top years and your favorite, most memorable years. I want to particularly talk about basketball because we're in basketball season. And we've got a team right now that I don't know how you would rate this team compared to the 2013 team just a couple years ago, or some of the teams under Tiny Grant. I guess there's a lot of basketball that remains to be played, but what are some of your top basketball years at Colorado State University?
You know, Joel, and I'm going to qualify that by, I grew up, my dad was a high school basketball coach, so that's always been very, very fond, you know, I've always been fond. And college basketball to me is phenomenal when you get to the NCAA tournament, and I know you've been there as well. You know, I think back, I think Larry's first team here 2 years ago was incredibly special for a lot of reasons, and one of them is the quality of people on that team. You know, Larry's the head coach and his staff, but and following Tim Miles, but Wes Eichmeyer, Pierce Hornung, Greg Smith, Dorian Green, just incredible people to be around. Colton Iverson, they made it fun to be around because they were such quality individuals. I think back to Coach Grant, and I have a great fondness for Boyd Grant. He was so kind and gracious to me. I think that the 89 team was as good a team as I've ever seen at Colorado State. 90 was very good, but they got hit with some injuries late in the year. But I think that this team right now at 17-2 has a chance to really be special. I think it's a team that Larry loves to coach. They're his kind of guys. They're long. They're athletic. They play defense. They are tough, like he is. I'm going to date myself and any of your listeners, but Al McGuire, when I was growing up, was one of a guy, the coach at Marquette, that I absolutely admired and respected. And he always used to say, "Teams reflect the personality of their head coach." Hmm. This team certainly does. They are tough. They are hard-nosed. They want to win every single possession and every single game. And I absolutely love this team. And I'm hopeful that it plays out, and they deserve it because they're 17. And, you know, they'll be playing coming up. But I think they've got a chance to have an incredibly special year and one that will be very memorable for Ram fans.
I would love for CSU to get back to the days where students were camping out a day in advance for tickets, and the fire marshal was coming in because there were too many people standing in the aisles, and Moby was overpacked.
That would be fantastic.
I got time for just one more question here, Gary. We've got a big basketball game talking about the upcoming games here. San Diego State on Saturday night, 8 p.m. at Moby Arena. Make sure you wear your white. It's a white out. That is a game where CSU is playing. It's really the only top 50 opponent left on the schedule. I'll get them twice. But San Diego State comes to town. They're the preseason number one in the conference. How does CSU match up there? And tell me about how you see that game going.
Oh, I think I love that question. Here's why. I think back to when Sonny Lubick came to Colorado State as a football coach, he built his team's defense first and made everybody copy him, and teams did that. I think that Steve Fisher sets the bar high in the Mountain West, and I think Larry, when he came into this league, said, okay, what do I have to do to compete with Steve Fisher? Play without a true center, a big 6'10", 6'11 guy, get long and athletic, be able to play defense. And I think Larry has built his teams to say, how can Colorado State compete with San Diego State? I think Larry has that type of team to say, okay, we're going to line up, go head-to-head, let's see who wins.
Well, Gary, I really have enjoyed our conversation, and I really appreciate you joining us late night. It's been great catching up with you.
Joel, thank you. I really appreciate it. Appreciate all you do for our program.
You bet. And again, that game is 8 o'clock tip-off at Moby Arena Saturday night. Wear your white. It's a whiteout. It's televised by ESPNU, but if you're in the area, make sure you get your tickets and go support the Rams. That's all we have time for tonight. Thank you so much, Gary Azzella. I also want to thank all of our sponsors, Cindy Showerman of Beamer Insurance Agency, CB and Potts Restaurant, Ellis Penn and O'Connor Tax Group, Window World, Lionsgate Real Estate, and Ed Bozar Chevrolet. They make this show possible. Please give them first shot at your business. Thanks for listening to us tonight. You've been listening to Ram Nation Radio on Mile High Sports. Go Rams.